Once again, should make yourself very familiar with this chapter. This chapter in Ephesians chapter 4 for sure. Hopefully I can pick up where I left off last week. I ain't too quick on theirs. I ain't early on theirs. I'm on time. I'm early. I'm supposed to have more time because I'm about to go for it. If they're rolling, I'm going to start. Good. Matthew chapter 16. One of the things that I want to do, and I said it last week and I'll say it again this week, and it's going to be, if you've been in church for any amount of time, it can be a difficult thing to break the mold. I found out that if you're familiar with pottery, yes. You know, it takes a clay, but it takes a lot of water. Keep it moldable and movable. If it stays wet, then it's moldable. It's the moment that it stops moving and it stops being hydrated that it gets hard, and the only way to fix it then is break it. And so when we become immobile and still and stuck, we become rigid. And the only thing that will make us change form is cracking us. A little lady came and talked to me in my dream. I couldn't tell you who she was. She came and talked to me in my dream. All she said was read Psalms 51 a couple weeks ago. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to be so super spiritual. I turned over and read Psalms 51, looked at it kind of like that, and went right back to sleep. I got no revelation. I got nothing out of it. I said, all right, little lady, whatever. You know what I'm saying? The next day, I remembered and I read it, and I'm reading about David. It's right when he had messed up with Bathsheba, and he says, So it goes on, and so we know the part about create a right spirit in me. You know what I'm saying? Give me a clean heart, create a right spirit in me. But then he gets to another part, and this is the part that they want to see. It says, he said, burnt offering is not what pleases you. He said, because if it did, I'd have gave it to you. It's easy. That part is easy. Most of what we consider giving sacrifice or giving honor or giving whatever we think we're doing is easy. Getting up here coming on Sunday, it's easy. You go to work more than you come on Sunday. It's easy. Midweek is easy. Right? Tithing off, it's easy. Easy to do. Lift your hands. It's easy. I give you all that. He said, but that ain't what pleased you. I said, what? Because burnt offering time. It's Old Testament. Old Testament burnt offering is the way that I pay my penance. Yeah. This is the way that I take care of my shortcomings with the burnt offering. Mm-hmm. This is the way I do. He said, I gave you that. David said, that was easy. I give you all that. I got enough. We can pull a bull out the back like that and give you a burnt offering. Mm-hmm. If that's what you wanted, that's what I gave you like that. Right. He said, but that ain't what you want. That ain't what pleased you. Mm-hmm. He said, what pleased you is a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Mm-hmm. Contrite means crushed, mm-hmm. Like almost to dust. Broken spirit. You want to have a strong spirit. He said, no, I don't need that. I need a broken one. I need you and your understanding and your inspiration, what has been breathed into your living to be broken. And we're going to do some breaking in this class. And some of it's going to feel good and some of it not going to feel good, but it's going to feel good at the end of it. It's going to be okay at the end of it. But we have a lot of tradition and religious, I'm using that in the 2019 term of religious ways. You know, religion doesn't mean, religion is actually a good thing. Religion really means to bind. It means to bind you to a set of laws or understanding. I mean, religion is just like having buttons on your shirt or having a belt on or having something that's holding something together. You see, it's like that's really, it's binding something to something. That's religion. And so thank God for religion to bind us to something to make us understand how to walk in a certain direction. But religion should not be your reality. It is only a means to reality. I only lock you into these sets of vows and morals and things that you're supposed to do because I'm trying to show you who you really are. You probably won't know. It's almost like a little child. You treat a child a certain way. Yes, they are a human being just like you. There's blood running through them. There's DNA running through them. There's a life in there. But they don't know how to do some things yet. Right. So you have to train them up in the way that they should. And when they are, they won't It's talking about being. Like, this is church. All right? Now, to be honest, I said this last week. I'll say it again. We shouldn't have to have a class called Church Unusual. Because there should be nothing usual about church. Are you understanding me? But over the years, and in Matthew 6, I don't have time to go through. We talked about it a little bit last week. I don't have time to go through it, but for sake of building. The leaven of the Pharisees, beware of the leaven, beware of the leaven. I got a question for you. What if I told you that, any of y'all like brownies? Mm-hmm. I like brownies? Pretty much brownies kind of like across the board thing. Like, we might not eat them all the time, but it's pretty much a consensual thing that everybody's kind of like brownies, right? So what if I told you I was making you some brownies? I only got a little bit of dog poo in it, but I got brownies.
Wait, what?
Just a little bit of dog poo. Got a big pan of brownies, but I got a little bit of dog poo. Just a little bit. Now, look, this much. Big pan. I got a big pan, but you got a little bit of dog poo. Anybody want some brownies? Y'all don't want any? No, but it's only this much. It just kind of fell in there. I don't know how it got in there, but it just kind of fell in the mix. But the brownies still, it's still brownies. Still keep the color. It's still brownies. Y'all wouldn't want none? Y'all wouldn't want? No. But you eat it, wouldn't you?
No.
That brownie smelled too good.
None.
You wouldn't eat it. When you found out.
None.
Even if they taste the same.
No.
I mean, somebody would have had to eat them already, right? If you found out they got some dog poo, you don't want it. He said, oh, you know, he don't eat sweets. I don't eat no sweets, right? You wouldn't want it.
Not anymore.
Smell good, look the same. You don't even smell nothing. Just make a difference physically. But you don't want it. So can't we come on, agree? So you don't want, no. Hold on, y'all don't want none either. I see y'all, so y'all don't want none. Okay. 11 of the Pharisees. Because all you would think about, if I gave you brownies, you'd be ready to fight with me after. If they let you eat and say, hey, listen, nigga, let's talk to him. I didn't tell you before, but we're going to make it out, right? Right? You ready to fight? You never trust me again.
Never.
You never trust me again. You don't want to eat from me again. You're going to be brownies again, right? Like it'll be a problem, wouldn't it? And the only thing that you're going to think about, you know, you're going to think about the brownies or the chocolate or anything. All you're going to think about is I ate food. Right? Like, that's going to be the somebody to tell you, you know what? You ate food the other day. And they said, I'm about the brownies and nothing. What it looked like. It looks like that. It's a little bit in there. It's a little bit of man's will. It's in with God's will. It looks the same. We mix the same, we put it up the same, and ride the same. But still got a little bit of, that go a little further, a little bit of poison in there. You know, it don't take a lot of poison to kill nobody. It's a little bit of leaven, and they said 11 the whole loaf. As far as you're concerned, that whole pan is dog food. If you know, if you are aware, right? As far as you're concerned, that whole pan is tapping, we ain't touching nothing. I don't want to call it nothing, because I don't know where it mixed into. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
a little bit of leaven, the whole loaf. Jesus was telling them, right when he's talking about, he's going to go to the point where he's going to say that I'm in Matthew 16. He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. What is he saying? Beware of the conversation, because the conversation seems moral. It seems good. It seems like the right stuff. It seems like church. But there's a little bit of man that has gotten in, which is why the stagnation is taking place. I always like to come to this conclusion and to be honest with myself. I'll be honest with myself. We'll be honest with us as a system, as a set of people, as a group of people together. We know that the progress that we should be seeing, we haven't been seeing. Huh? You know, most of the stuff that we're praying for is because we haven't been seeing what we should see. Just be honest about it, right? Right? We know that there should be, and I'm not talking about our idea, our super thought idea of all these different things going on. Just progress. Just more should be happening. Just more should be, there should be more people beating down the door to get to where I am. Right. And the reason that there has been movement is because of stagnation, and it's because of man slipping in powerful thing when you say you speak on behalf of God. Because when you speak on behalf of God, you become the voice of God. The priest is getting in trouble. Oh, there's a priest getting in trouble now. Because there is such power. They would want to become, you know, right, even right now in 2019, everybody wants to be a pastor. Because they think they're looking for some kind of prestige. Want somebody to serve, want somebody to do something for them. Not realizing the responsibility that comes along. The selfless, the dying on the cross. That's what Jesus was trying to show us. And so what happens over the time is you read the book of Acts, and we'll go there in a minute, but that's when the church began. But in the book of Acts, they said there was a murmuring. We'll read it for a minute, and I'll show you something really quick. And this is why Jesus is so important to us. Not as a figurehead, not as the face of the company, not as just your personal savior, but showing us what the will of God looks like in the flesh. Let me see chapter. I want to make sure I get to the right one. Chapter 6. And I was reading one day, and I just read through the book of Acts. I was reading this. It says, in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because the widows were neglected in the daily ministration. So now what happens here is, in the middle of the establishment of the beginning of the church, Jesus is just gone, okay? They're establishing what it's about to look like from here on out. Okay, Jesus has died on the cross, rose again. He stayed around about 40, 50 days to tell them, and then this is what we're about to Peter, this even before Paul came in the picture, now we're about to establish what the church is about, what this new doctrine will look out from here on, look like from here on out. It's a new thing, it's a whole new plan now. Now we're here, and it says there's a murmuring. There was a murmuring of the Grecians, the Greeks. That's the people that you had the Jews and everybody else that wasn't Jews were Gentiles, right? They were the Greeks, but they were Gentiles. If you weren't Jew, you weren't chosen before Jesus. I just want to give a little history so we understand what's going on. Before Jesus, that's why they wanted to kill Jesus. People think they killed Jesus for all this kind of reason. They killed Jesus because Jesus was uprooting that plan that they had already. It was the most racist thing ever, too. But yeah. If you're not born a Jew, you're an outcast. Okay, you couldn't be saved. You were God's chosen people, not y'all. Can y'all understand that concept? I don't need to understand that concept for real. I mean, we can almost compare it to civil rights and being worse than that, telling that y'all going to hell. Okay, y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so now when Jesus comes, he flips the script. So now we're over here, and Jesus gives some very specific, if you read through the Gospels, he gives specific understanding of how things are supposed to be handled from man to man here on out. What's the greatest commandment of the Lord? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul. But the second is just like that. Love your, as you love yourself. Like, there is no separation between you and them, whether they're doing what you're doing or not. He didn't say love them. But he was talking, he said, it's easy to love the Lord that said he loved you. Right? Love your enemy. Pray for your enemy. See, you get the conversation. Take care of the widows. Take care of those who can't take care of themselves. And now there's a murmuring. The Greeks are they're murmuring. They're upset. There's a turmoil there because we remember that the one that y'all say is the Savior said that y'all was supposed to take care of us. But you're overlooking the Greek widows in the daily administration. In passing out our daily bread. We're ignoring those people because they're not a part of our people. Administration. It sounds like another word. Huh? ministry. Administration, ministry, all that, to pass it out, to give it out, right? But now you're ignoring those that Jesus said to take care of. A little bit of leaven, leaven the whole loaf. Jesus made a flawless plan. He came here, John chapter 1, it says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we, he's the only begotten of the Father. We could see what God looks like in the flesh so that we can see what we look like in the flesh. And he laid the plan out, how things were supposed to go from here. I didn't come to do away with the law, right? Remember that, right? I came to fulfill the law. He said there's not one thing in the law. There's not one jot. That's not going to happen. It's going to happen, but it's not going to happen the way that you think it's going to happen. It's not going to happen in laws and lists and in punishments. It's going to happen through being. Everybody say being. Come on, say it again. Say being. So Christ intended for church to be. Listen to me. He intended church to be a living, functioning organism. Organization is cool, but organism is cooler. Do you realize that organizations attempt to function like organisms? I mean, that's where it comes from. It tries to put things in structure and things to work in certain places and everything. But the flaw that comes is the man. Now listen to me. Powerful is a heck of a drug. Power is a heck of a drug. When you have some prestige and some power, and when you can say everybody stands up, everybody stands, everybody sits, everybody sits. One come here and they come, one go there and they come. It's a thing that really can get you off of where you really stand. These are things that happen to mankind over the years. Mankind begin to feel confused their ways, the Father's ways. They begin to, the problem, I got to talk about the church, the problem with the tree of knowledge of good and evil was that life wasn't involved. The tree of life, tree of knowledge of good and evil, y'all with me? Knowledge of good and evil is not bad, but it's bad when you don't have life. When you are not life, you have no idea how to decipher between what's good and what's evil and what should happen and when it should happen. I've seen some people get punished for different mistakes they made in church, right? I've seen this over the years in different places, right? People get punished for mistakes that they made, and it ended up, the punishment was for good. That's what it said. But it ended up being evil because it destroyed the person instead of rebuilding them. Because Christ and the wrapping of Christ wasn't involved. So because the wrapping of Christ wasn't involved, there can be no church without Christ. You can put that down. There can be. Matter of fact, we're not even here for all the things you think we're here for. We're here solely for one point. Every time you meet on the congregation, you're here for one point. To know Christ. That I may know him. That is it. Yes, you can learn everything else. But all those are efforts. And if we don't get there, everything is in vain. I've seen a lot of great worship. I've seen a lot of great prayer. I've seen a lot of crying and falling on the floor. I've seen a lot of wallowing on the floor. I've seen running and jumping and flipping and waving and you name it. I'm not making some of it real, some of it wasn't. I'll be honest. Come on, y'all. I ain't gonna tell the truth. I done fell out before. Everybody was falling out. A little young. Stand up tonight. Y'all already know what time it is. Huh? You got some answer. Amen. You didn't hear nothing he said? Yeah, I know. Tell the truth. Don't let the catch you looking at me. Looking at you. You know you didn't hear nothing he said? That's it right there. We got into the motion. Right? And I've seen a lot of it, man. The church is up, man. I've seen a lot of it, right? And I've seen people get up from those crying and those spitting and those worship and then be ugly with somebody. I mean, like, straightway, immediately, suddenly. Ugly, right? Like, with no residue or nothing that you got on the floor. Right? right? Because it's easy to go through the. But we're here. When we come, we need to see where is Christ. Because if I don't get that, I ain't got nothing. I can build the buildings. I can build the organizations. We can have the books. We can write the notes. We can wear the outfits. We can do all of that. You miss out on Christ. You miss the point. It's the being. It's the being. Church is an organism. And you are that organism. Say, I am church.
I am church.
I didn't say the church. I want to say, I am church.
I am church.
Because church is a being. The idea, I said it last week and I said it again, the word ecclesia, and it comes, and then we go to Ecclesiastes, all this other stuff. No, it has nothing to do with none of that. Ecclesiastes church, no, it has nothing to do with that. It means, ecclesia means to be called out from an origin. Ex. Ex, when you ex something, ex, ex, it means outside, bring someone. To be called out from an origin by name to carry a name. That's what the word church really means. To be called out, I'll give you the actual word in a minute. Let me see. Because I don't want to, on this rock, I'll build my, Ecclesia, E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A. The first definition is that the ex part of it just comes from two different parts. Ex part means out of, from, by, away from. All right, so the ec part means out from, out of. So we come out of something. We're made in whose image? So we've come out of God. You've been called out of God. See, when we say somebody been called and say, we got a calling on my life, then you had a calling on your life when you got here. What day were you born? Say your birthday. What day were you born? So you can count about 9 months before that. It depends on 8, 9 months, 7. It depends on how it come, right? But the moment that you were conceived, the moment you were called, it's not going to be after you graduate here. You were called way before you got graduated here. You called way before somebody laid their hands on you at a church and said, you know, you got a gift. It's only a confirmation. Who called you? The earth called for you. The world called for you. The whole creation waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. It was calling for you. Why do you think you came when you came? So you got to be clear. Those of us that are living right now in this time were called for this time. And when we're finished with our calling, the calling will be over. We don't understand life and death that way. We don't understand the concept. We base it off of our earthly understanding of how we want things to be, and that's why we lament so much. But we don't understand that we were never here for all the other stuff we thought we were here for anyway. No, we were never here for that in the first place. But those things can work better if you know what you were here for. Y'all get that? It's a flip. Everybody say flip. My understanding got a flip. Say flip. See, we came here and we start to take on the understanding, 11, start to take on the understanding of society that's around us, and we begin to build like that in the name of Jesus. And we begin to use the anointing in Jesus' name to build society like it's being built already. That's not the point. Get it? He's talking about it in Matthew 6. Take no thought what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, how you're going to handle. Take no thought for tomorrow. Golly, Jesus, God, dog, how much faith do you want me to have? He said, don't think about tomorrow. For tomorrow, all evil going to be in tomorrow is sufficient of itself. It's going to be there. But seek first. And where's the kingdom of God? In all these. But see, don't try to add these things and call it the kingdom. Well, we do it all day long. Anybody ever added something in the name of Jesus? Yes. And then months later, you're like, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I said it last night, a lot of stuff we rebuking is stuff that we created. Take this away, take this thorn from me, but you stuck yourself in the side with the thorn. Right? And so, I called out from an origin. I'm called out from something. I came from somewhere. Amen. Not your mom and them. God bless your mom and them. Not just them. They was an avenue for you to get here. If you have children, you were an avenue for your children to be here. I know you think they're yours, but they're not. Right? You were only a steward of them until they realized their father. Jesus said some tough stuff. We read it, slow down. Jesus said tough stuff. He said, don't call no man on earth your father. I read a long time, I didn't know he said that. Don't call no man on earth your father, he said, because he was trying to make the point of the father and the son are equal. And if you call, I mean, y'all can imagine some of the stories we got and some of the family stories we got. If you call something equal with some of the stuff you're talking about, boy, you're in trouble. Right? He said, because you got one father, your father was just above. That's your equal, right? That's stewardship until you understand that. Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
So we're called out from somewhere. It's church. Church has, there's nothing wrong. Let me say this. You got to go from incomplete to complete. And the problem is that there's a mass incompletion of understanding of what we're here for and what we're doing. And so because of that, we function in our incompleteness. It's almost like leaving the house half dressed. And you're wondering why people are looking at you crazy. Or why you feel a draft. Or why whatever it is, right? Because you're not fully finished. You're eating that food, but it ain't fully cooked. You ever had that before? You ever something that wasn't cooked all the way? And it's the worst, right? Let's go back to them brownies. No poo, just brownies. No poo, just regular brownies now. Right? Y'all good now, right? Regular brownies. And I promise. Scouts on it. Ain't no poo in there, right? But even if they're uncooked or they're not in there long enough, it doesn't come out the way it should. It's going to be loose, liquidy all over the place. You know, don't talk about some meat or something that's cooked and it's uncooked, got too red, right? It becomes a problem. It even could actually be a health problem for you in some situations, right?
Right?
Because it's undone.
Right.
It's not finished. So what happens is that we our understanding, we begin to function in an unfinished doctrine. It's okay to congregate. It is good for us to congregate and come together, Sundays and midweek. It's good for us to have classes like these. It is good for us to come together in different meetings and different crusades and different things of that nature. It is good for us. Iron sharpens iron. It is good for us to gather together and be. The Bible talks about that. It is good for us to gather together in that. But that is not the point. It is a part of the situation.
Yes, sir.
Are y'all listening to me?
Yes, sir.
If you don't realize what the root point is, then all those things are pointless.
Yes.
One of the number one things I want to, not number one, but it's all a part, but one of the things I want, like when we worship, right? We're going to tell God how good he is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he thinks, whatever you think of him, he thinks more of that of you. Else he never would have sent you here. He could have just left you, whatever. But we don't allow him to tell us we're good. Do we? So the conversation is finished. Y'all married, right? What? You tell him you love him, he don't say he love you. Ain't no connection there. Vice versa. Ain't no, we got a problem. We got to talk, we're going to go, right? Because there can be no connection without reciprocation.
Amen,
right? There can be no connection without reciprocation, right? So I love you, I adore you, I worship you, I praise you. All that is great. But if you don't allow it to be told to you, there is no connection. There is no oneness. The goal is one. Ephesians 4 talks about, I won't have time to go there, maybe we will, but it talks about the unity of the faith. To one body, one faith, one Lord, one Father and God of all, who's above all, in all, and through you all. One. Everybody say one. See, the goal was one. So it becomes incomplete. But is that emotion? We'll get in here, we'll lift our hands and say, Lord, we love you. Right? He said, I love you more. Not gonna prove it. But if you don't allow that to happen, I'm gonna give you a good one. You wanna give y'all a good one? Next time you're in church and you're singing praise and worship. Sing the songs. Do the word. The word's going to be on the screen to sing them, right? But then for a quick minute there, and it's going to change your life. Quick minute there, I want you to flip your mind for a minute and let the words be sung to you. Wow. I'll never forget the song called Your Good, Good Father said, you're perfect in all your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect in all of your ways. I remember it was in the youth meeting. You're perfect in all your ways. You are, right? And I was singing, and this happened to me on stage. In the middle, I'm trying to give it up because I will get the sacrifice of praise, right? And he flipped that thing on me in the mid-song, and I dropped. Boom! I can't even talk about it too much right now because the idea that we can't even see it that way because we're so used to the idea of bosses and masters and whatever that we're so used to the idea of working for God or for somebody that you don't see how much He adores you. Like it's literally infatuated with you. Like I don't that ain't even a good word. Like it's just right. And so you flip it, and then your empowerment comes when you let Him tell you. Everybody wants a word from the what? Lord, don't you? You want a word from the Lord? Give me a word from the Lord, right? Remember that song? Everybody wants to hear from God, right? Well, God is going to tell you, yeah, you're just like me. That's what He's saying. He'll give more identification than He will give instruction. But if you don't have faith for identification, He'll give you instructions and hope that you understand who you are. Being according to your faith. You understand? This is church. So for the most, we're you know, you pray, right? You ever rat it off in prayer for about an hour? Huh? Y'all know y'all done prayed in tongues about an hour, ain't heard nothing. Just be honest right now, man. We ain't trying to see, well, he said a little something, but my faith wasn't there to connect. No, I ain't talking about that. Sometimes you done rat it off in prayer and you didn't hear anything. Why? Because you were talking. You ever have you ever talked to these people? I might be one of them people. I don't know. Like you just talk, and then it's just like they talking. Uh-huh. And then they're waiting for you to finish talking so they can talk. So they really didn't hear what you said. I'm guilty of that. Y'all better say amen. I'm guilty of that. I'm double dutch. I'm waiting till you finish. As soon as you finish, I'm going to jump in and say, but I was trying to say that this was. Right? Ain't that something, right? Right? And so we double dutch with the Father. When we should calm down and let Him speak to you. And the first thing He's going to tell you is you are loved and you are like me. This is your empowerment. And when I tell you who you are, then any instructions that I give you, you are enabled to do so because you are so. Okay, so I'm getting to a point. Upon this rock, upon this rock, I'll build my church. I'll build my called out ones by a name to carry a name. Even in those times, church was a calling out in the community. It would call people to a central place out from their homes to a place that we can give what's supposed to be said. Church on the other side of Jesus took on the same connotation as the tabernacle in the Old Testament. The temple in the Old Testament. So nobody can hear anything unless they went to the tabernacle. But that wasn't, Jesus didn't build no tabernacles. Jesus is the will of God, right? Come on, answer me. Jesus is the will of God in the flesh. He is God in the flesh, right? Everything that Jesus did was the express will. Jesus came to reveal the will of the Father. Can we say that? Jesus did not, although He was a carpenter, and I think God was playing games. I think He was saying, I gave this man the skills to build, but I really ain't telling him to build like this. Y'all listen to me. I gave him the skills to build, but he doesn't have any instructions to build any temples. The other thing, he said, you destroy this temple in 3 days. But I ain't talking about the. Remember, they come down, Elijah and Moses in there, up there with him, and Peter just get to run in his mouth. I'd have been so quiet, or maybe I wouldn't have been quiet. I don't even know. But the first thing he want to do is go worship. Go to church. He went straight to church. Let's build a tabernacle. Let's build one for you. Now, Peter, you know you couldn't done that. You know how long it take to build? We don't even have bulldozers and stuff right there right now. You know how long it took you to build 3 tabernacles? Just talking noise. Just running your mouth. Trying to give some kind of glory. You don't even know you're supposed to be quiet right now. You don't even know the transfiguration is showing you. Right? So, there's a little bit of leaven that slides in. Jesus the veil tears. You read it when he says it is finished. All the thunder, everything starts shaking. The ground starts opening. I don't know if y'all realize, if y'all ever really thought about how that process was. They said the ground started opening up and people started getting up. These are people that have been dead for years. And they come walking up talking about, I'm back, right? This is the resurrection is a whole other ball game. It's thunder. Why you think the people said, surely this must have been the Son of God. Remember that guy, right? Yeah, you doggone right. Because as soon as he said it's finished, boy, he hadn't done nothing wrong, right? So he said it's finished, and they said a veil tore it in the temple. He tore from top to the bottom. I mean, it was so high, so man couldn't have torn it. Had to be the hand of God. The veil that was blocking everybody from going into the inner courts. Do you see the process? So now, wow, Jesus come through, boom, blow this thing loose. Now we're not going from this streamline, coming this pipeline of traffic is because of bottled up. Mm-hmm. Traffic. Nobody likes traffic.
Nobody.
Right? I wrote down and said nobody likes traffic. But next time before you complain about traffic, just remember you part of it. Yeah. It hit me the other day. I said, I can't, man. And I'm blowing a horn at other people, but I'm blocking somebody. Like I'm actually a part of the jam. Amen. Flip. But traffic comes from a place of bottling up. The road dropped from 4-lane, 3-lane, and 2-lane, but it's still the same amount of people. And so it's bottled up. So now it slows down my progress in getting somewhere because the lane is bottled up. It's more narrow. Don't talk about when they're doing construction, they put them little cones in the road, now you got to go to 1-lane, right? Like coming down here on the way to Word of Life, right? Like, don't talk about. Now it slows things up even more. And this is what the life of being connected to God looked like, because you had to go through the priest. You had to go through the tabernacle. You had to go through that lane, and so there's only so much room in that lane at a time, so we just got to wait in line until our turn. And we all got God in us already, but because of structure, we got to. So God has already put us over there, or already put us where we're supposed to be, always give us everything already, but we're slowed down because of the bottlenecking. Y'all can get in, y'all can't get in. Y'all got to go back and do a little bit more for y'all worthy to walk over here. Now watch it now before we start pointing at them. That's 2019. Y'all know we done that before. Y'all got to get, it's a tough one. There's going to be some tough cookies in this class. Because it's been bottled, and so Jesus comes in and kicks the bottle. He breaks the whole bottle. Psh! Ain't no more bottlenecking. Now you would think that everything just goes everywhere. But no, because of what I taught you, Jesus is talking now, right? Because of what I taught you, and I taught you being, I told you that you're walking the wrong way. Everybody walks this way. So now there's not a splatter or they're afraid. The fear in modern day church is that everybody's going to lose their religion. You ever somebody say lose your religion?
Yes.
But I don't even know if you got religion or not if you don't have the freedom to not to lose it. Y'all hear what I'm saying? If I lock you up in a room, I can't say you staying here because you love me. You locked in. You ain't got no choice. I got these chains on you. So we don't know what's going on. It's only when you have the ability to do something else and still do what you do is it true. Oh, y'all listen to me. It's only when I can actually run away. Right? The door's open. I get out of here. Right? But I stay because this is who I am. And this is what my will chooses. Are y'all with it?
Yes, sir.
So you really don't know if somebody know God until you give them a chance to function in a place where you ain't giving them God's word in their ears. Now, this is the next place. This is the next place we're going as a church. Just mark my words. Write it down. You can call it a prophecy, whatever you want to, but I don't even go it like that. Just mark my words that this is the place. He who the Son set free is free. But that you're not free until you've been given the chance to leave. You know, we're so afraid of mistakes. But a mistake ain't nothing but a mistake. You were trying to take it the right way, but you just mistook it. It's just that simple. But we're so afraid of mistakes. And we didn't realize that sometimes the mistakes are a part of the mixture. So we're called out. Jesus comes and he break the bottle. He break the narrowness of where you got to go. He breaks it down to where anybody that believes can walk. Now it's hard for those people to believe now because we've been trying to get them to believe Old Testament. I always wondered, the more I understood Jesus and the more I understood what he was actually telling us and who we were, I mean, it's like just a little short list. Like he's telling you, hey, listen, you're already loved. You're already fine just the way that you are. You do not have to compare yourself to other people to be good. Listen, you are already loved. You are already prepared. You are already equipped. You are one with your creator. Yes, you are the creation, but you are one with the creator. Means you have all power in your hands at this direct moment, whether you believe or not. Everything you've been trying to do and trying to get to and trying to work hard for and everything, you already are. Say, I already am. I already am. Well, that conversation is such a beautiful conversation for anybody. Yes, you can make mistakes, but yes, those mistakes you make are already covered by the blood of Jesus, which is the character of Jesus, which is the spirit of God. It is already covered, and I've covered you and show you how not to make that mistake anymore. How much better of a deal can you get? You know, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to guide you. Right? Matter of fact, I'm going to guide you from within. We think the guiding comes from without, but it's actually from within. Right? Like, I put everything in you already. Boy, at the moment, there's some places in you that you haven't found yet. People, I was talking to a friend of mine, and she was kind of doing a singing lesson. I was talking to her, and I said, well, I was trying to tell her how to sing some things. She said, well, how do I do that? I said, well, listen, there's only, when singing, you have to find that space in your voice. And then when you find it, you'll never forget it. It's almost like you want to sing high. There's some place that your voice got to develop. It's training. But when I find the muscleman, when I find that spot, it's not really that nobody can take me there. They kind of tell me how to describe how it feels, but they don't really know because it's inside of my head. Right? But when you find that spot, it's liberating because now you're able to reach that note that you couldn't hit before. There's notes on the inside of you. You know your rhythm, right? Your whole body, your whole function is a rhythm. Yeah. There's notes on the inside of you that you hadn't hit yet that you didn't even know were able to be played. You thought the keys were broken, and not. And Jesus right on the inside of it with his hand on the keys. And he hit that note, boom. You didn't even know that one was there. When you find that place, it'll be liberating. It'll bring you to your knees. Right, but you don't find that place going through the motions. You only find that place going through the broken. I know that we've come to class, and I know that we're trying to be good Christians, and I know we're trying to follow the rules and do everything right, and by all means, keep doing so. But those aren't the things that are going to show you Jesus. And you know, Paul talked about being crucified with Christ. Jesus starts saying, take up your cross. You know what take up your cross mean, huh? We're ready to go die. We're ready to go get broken. We're going to the breaking. We're running towards the breaking. We're not rebuking being broken. We're not running from the battle, we're running towards it. We're not running from the pressure, we're running towards the pressure. Right? Because through that, how Jesus doesn't go through, we never get a resurrection. We're running from death. Let me be honest with you. Most of our lives are running from death too. Literal death. Right? But then you're running from being broken. But it's coming either way. Our things that we deal with, it's a breaking of us. Because I can't, that all that woman put on Jesus? Mm-hmm. If you go read and do a little history on it, the description of it, it's in a jar, and then she had to break it. Right. Because there is not an opening. Mm-hmm. It's not like a top. Right. Okay. It was an heirloom. Mm-hmm. It probably passed down from years and years and years and years and years. Mm-hmm. And it was closed off, it's like the glass closed all the way up. The only way to get it, that means you had to be serious about using it because you're breaking, there's no going back. Right? Like if you break a pot right now, it's probably time to get a new pot. If you really shatter it good. Huh? You need to break that bottle in order for what's on the inside of it to come out. Come on, church. Being called out. I'm called out from an origin by a name to carry a name. Remember, my name is not just those letters that are your last name or whatever. No, name is a character. It is a character, and it is everything that comes along with that character. The name, right? Jesus in John 17, he said, keep them. And he kept on saying, I didn't realize until I had to read it over again. John 17 is a beautiful scripture. You really see John chapter 17, the whole chapter. Jesus starts praying. He said, keep them in your name. He didn't say keep them in Jesus' name. Jesus is talking now. He said, keep them in your name. Keep them in your character. I taught them your character. Keep them in your character. And then if I walk in, let them be one with you as I am with you. Now we are together. Because if we're one with the character of God, that means everything that that character says, has, and can do, I can say have. And whether you know it or not, it's like that already. We've just been saying the wrong stuff. We've just been manifesting. We manifested. Oh, you manifest all the time. You are 100% always manifesting. It don't turn off. It's just which direction are you abusing it? Is it perverted? I'm not talking about nasty perverted. I'm talking about perverted like it's not. It's diverted, like it go another way. Perverted, like it's going somewhere else other than. So it's incomplete to go through the motions and not realize you are the motion. Are y'all listening to me?
Yes, sir.
See, the point is, you read this in John, and they say, who do men say that I am? And all the men started talking about prophets. Mm-hmm. And Elijah and all the ones that they knew, the famous ones. The ones that they had built their religion off of.
Right.
So you can't build your religion off of who you think is great. They'll point you towards greatness. You'll see Christ in them. But you can't build your religion off of them because you'll be crushed whenever they leave. I know tons of people in different churches that have built their religion off of their leader. And when their leader falls, they fall. I'll never forget an apostle would say something. He said, I want to teach you so well that even if I go off, you'll still know the difference. That's some love right there. Right, ain't gonna a lot of preachers gonna tell you that. Nope, they're gonna say, listen to me, just sit down and listen to me. They start calling all the structure, all the priests, all the prophets, that part, who the men say them, that represents all that. And then that's not bad. Right, but it wasn't finished. The only person that died and said it is finished was Jesus. And he was the only one that could. Listen, all the rest of them was buried. They were all buried. Y'all listen to me.
Yes, sir.
He says, but who you say I am? Mm-hmm. Peter jumps and says, thou art the. Blessed are thou, Simon, with thy flesh and blood, not revealed as my father's ever. And so I say that to you too, that thou art Peter. In other words, you Christ too. Mm-hmm. And upon that rock or that understanding, that's the only rock. Mm-hmm. Everything else is sand. Your prayer, your worship, your fasting, your studying, it's all sand. Without the rock. Are y'all hearing me?
Yes, sir.
And on that rock, I'll build the ones that I called. Out from a name to carry a name. Out from an origin. Remember, always remember that you come from somewhere. I ain't talking about the city you grew up in. You come from God. Where do you think you started at? Somewhere in the middle of all this, we got some other doctrines in our mind, and we taught some other things, we had some other experiences, and so we started building off of these false experiences. But church, in its entirety and purity, is all God. And everything else should fall in place after. A lot of flipping got to go on. Right? Breaking. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's read it this week. Read it a bunch of times this week. and then we'll touch on it next week, hopefully.